I'd like to turn back to the portion that we had in our reading meetings. I don't feel that I am any more sufficient to present than has already been presented, but let's turn back to 2 Corinthians 5. Generally, if someone asked me my job description, I would say that I'm a carpenter. I don't speak today as a carpenter, but we'll read verse 5 here of 2 Corinthians, verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Romans chapter 3, we find that there is none good, no, not one. That each one has gone out of the way, away from God. You know, today we talk a lot, or maybe we don't talk a lot, but maybe we hear about people talking about identity. Who do you identify as? People make up all kinds of things that they claim is their identity. But God, in his analysis of each one of us, says that whoever we are, in and of ourselves, we are unrighteous. If I was writing a resume, which I've never had to write before, having worked for my father, he knew my character, everything about me. But if I was writing a resume, I wouldn't put on there, I am an unrighteous person. It's not exactly how we would try to sell ourselves if we're trying to gain something, that I am unrighteous. But that is the assessment of God of who we are in the flesh, is unrighteous. And if I want to have a presentation to God like Cain, of my very best, the fruit of the ground, my own righteousness, God's assessment is that it's unrighteous. It's not going to meet the mark. Whatever it is that you think you have as your natural advantage that distinguishes you from others, it comes up short. Because God's standard is Christ. We already had, Bruce spoke of the second man. And if you're going to try to come to God on the basis of who you are, who you were born as, you're going to come up short. And so did I. But there was a change in my life, the best change that could ever happen. And that is that I got a new identity, an identity in Christ, to set aside everything that I could do to try to be good enough, to set that aside. And to find my identity in Christ. Because that is the only identity that is acceptable to God. Nothing else is good enough. And so as an ambassador, I don't come here as a carpenter, but as an ambassador. Perhaps if someone asks you what your job is, maybe you could add that to your answer. I'm an ambassador for Christ. That is my purpose here. And it's to share with you that it is God's desire, and so on behalf of him, I beseech you, recognize the way that God sees you, and you need to be reconciled to God. There's no lack on his side. His heart is towards you. But what is your response to him? Most of you here can rejoice together that we have been reconciled to God. We'd have zero fear of being with him. We have joy, actually, of anticipating being absent from this body to be present with the Lord. That is our hope. But I am sure that it is the desire of the locals here and my own desire on behalf of Christ that maybe, even though so many people have left, maybe there's somebody still here. You've sat through hearing of God's desire for you. And somehow, you're not reconciled to God. He's a stranger to you. Maybe someone you're afraid of. And it says here earlier in the chapter, knowing the terror of the Lord. I would like to persuade you. I can't use my own intellect to persuade you. But God's desire is that you and Him would be close. That you would know Him. That's His heart. What's the response? As He holds out His hands. You know those hands were hands that did a lot of work. I don't know if He worked with stone or with wood, but there were hands that worked hard. That did good. That touched. Not to hurt, but to heal. He had dominion over even the smallest little things that I don't even understand. To be able to heal. Diseases. But those hands that are held out to you are different than my hands. Those hands are hands that have holes in them. They have wounds. Because the Lord Jesus died for you. And He died for me. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger." You know, God is a holy God. He hates sin. And we get so used to sin. We're even taught amongst fellow believers to tolerate it, to be accepting of it. And it's easy for us to get lulled into that. But that is not how God views sin. It is offensive to Him. But even though we are so offensive to Him, in His love, He has given His Son to prove to you and to prove to me that He loves us. And the Lord Jesus laid down His life on that cross. And He also took it again. It's a wonder to me to consider that. Others have said, I believe it to be correct, that it was His greatest miracle to raise Himself from the dead. And to be able to say ahead of time, this is what I'm going to do. I am going to die and I am going to rise again. If we turn over to Philippians chapter 3, this is where we are at in our readings at home in Rideau Ferry. We have an example here of somebody who had an identity. It's Paul the Apostle. And he had what was considered a very good and acceptable identity. Let's just read it here. Philippians 3. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh," verse 4, "if any other man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung or but filth, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The Apostle Paul had a pretty good resume. A lot that people would look up to and say he was an honorable man. He was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew the revelation of God well. And he didn't set aside what he knew of the revelation of God. But he set aside what he had accomplished in himself. He set aside himself because he was not sufficient. He wanted Christ. What is it that we want to accomplish in our lives? Who do I want to become? What is it that I aspire to be? You know, Paul set those things aside. He wanted to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. That's pretty incredible power. We already spoke about that. But he wanted to know him too in the fellowship of his sufferings. Do we want to know him in that way? To be made conformable to his death? Verse 13, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We've already had brought before us the rest of our time. You know, there's a tract written by a man who used to live in Smith Falls, that he wrote about his son, who was on his way to work and got in a motorcycle accident and was killed. It's called The Rest of His Time. And this morning we woke up and had a slightly different morning experience than most of you. We were at Josh and Tammy's house and we heard this fairly loud noise, and I heard Tammy call out that a tree had fallen down. A little bit surprising thing to have happen. The tree fell down on a power wire, knocked down the transformer, and it landed on the ground, and it made a fairly good-sized bang, and all the lights went out. Nobody was under that. If they were, I don't think they would be here. You know, the rest of our time is not something that we can predict. We didn't know that was going to happen. Nobody did, except God. The rest of our time is not a guaranteed length. And so it might be easy for us to put off in our mind the need to deal with the matter of what have you done with Jesus who is called Christ? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? You know, Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He believed who Jesus was. You know, I talked earlier, I lost my train of thought relative to those hands. that are held out to you. Those hands are not hands that have blood in them anymore, because that blood has been given for you. And it was given for me. Accept what the Lord Jesus offers to you. And you can go on your way rejoicing, like that, I think it was the Ethiopian eunuch that went on his way rejoicing. God offers that you can know Him, that your identity can be in Christ, and that you can come to know Him in your life. That's what's available. Do not turn away. I persuade you. I beseech you. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Father, we'd just like to thank Thee together for Thy great love in sending Thy beloved Son, for Thy plan that would involve Him being our Redeemer. We thank Thee for the glory that is His now. Though we see not yet all things put under Him, please open our eyes to see that place that is His. And that we might take up with Him, not to have an identity in ourselves, but in Him. We would just thank Thee, our God, for answering our prayer relative to this time, for the happy time that we have had. We just ask for help that there would be that effect in our lives as those that have been with Jesus. So we just ask for blessing on Thy word now. In Jesus' name, amen.